To my parents, Carolyn and Robert Abrams, who taught me to revere justice. To Andrea, Leslie, Richard, Walter, and Janine, who see what can be. To Jordan, Faith, Cameron, Ryan, Aaron, and Devin, who make it worth the effort. Don't you plead me your case. Don't bother to explain. Take the sorrows you gave and all the stakes you claim. From Sleep to Dream by Fiona Apple Maggart. Prologue. The white walls of Mami Wata Incorporated's office space were painted with a clear coat to encourage scribblings and musings to be scrawled across the vast surfaces. Tall tinted windows allowed the bright northern lights to bathe the space without blinding the inhabitants. Banks of computers and monitors occupied almost every flat surface. An array of standing desks, work tables, and a few traditional office desks scattered across the wide-open warehouse space. Above the open floor for the engineers and programmers, a second level contained more formal offices. Here, an entrant gained access only via face ID or thumbprint. One person per space, and no visiting the second floor without invitation. Even the elevator required a code to be called. Once upstairs, a visitor saw four rooms and more glass. The conference room occupied the largest area, complete with a high-gloss marble table and trendy, uncomfortable chairs. Only clients used the conference room. Two equally sized offices had been allocated to the CFO and the CTO. Their doors had the same frosted coating. Behind the final opaque door was a slightly more generous room whose dark glass could transform to clear in seconds. In that last office sat the expat entrepreneur who controlled the workings of Mami Wata. The glass accoutrements were her singular design, born after years of deployment on a submarine. Never again would she be hidden behind thick walls, barriers designed to be impenetrable by sound, by screams. Her desk contained three oversized monitors networked to one another and to a server that she alone could access. Halfway across the globe, the attorney she'd hired years before pinged her for a video chat. She accepted the call from Washington, D.C. to Johannesburg with the ease that so many of the younger generation took for granted. Few understood the mechanics of transatlantic calls, of pixelated discussions via fiber optic cables, and the power of the gods. The order is out. She saw no need for preambles. All that could be said had been.
Yes, the Supreme Court denied our petition, sent us back to the Uniform Court of Military Justice. I told you, the Holy Nine don't mess around with the Ferris Doctrine. Soldiers may protect them, but they don't believe in quid pro quo.
The attorney awaited her explosion, but nothing came. Instead, her reply was succinct.
Understood.
Thrown, he added.
I have asked the team to advise on a direct appeal to the president. It's an election year, and with all the scandals swirling around, he needs someone on his side. Standing up for a wronged, decorated veteran could be just the thing. We'll have a memo on your options by close of business.
The short, bitter laugh spoke volumes to anyone listening closely. Ask Brandon Stokes for assistance? The man has been removed from office and is fighting patriotically for the only thing he cares about. Himself. He won't help me.
He might if we go public,
came the limp advice.
Court of public opinion.
No, it's been tried before. Whether we've been injured, maimed, or killed, the politicians with power do nothing. The courts with authority do nothing, and the public, having perfect knowledge, they will do nothing. She processed the grief of rejection as she had the pain of betrayal.